for them. She's working now, and she's been going through orientation. She said, wow, you know, but thank God for that. Amen. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I kind of chuckled yesterday when I was always marking my Bible what I preach. And in this scripture, I'm going to read from verses 35 through 39. But if you went all the way back up to verse 31 down to 39, you would have got my message beforehand, which was War Part 3. And I believe that with all of my heart that we in America and the world are at war. I believe that with all my heart. And there are times that things look pretty bad for us as adults, especially for those of us that are Christians. The devil delights in making us have bad times. How many of you realize that? So I'm going to read to you my text this morning, beginning in verse 35. And I want you to follow there with me. I'm going to share with you today, when things look bad, God looks good. How many of you like that thought? Amen? When things look bad, God looks good. Go with me to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and you need to put a star by verse 37, okay? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about that. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Paul lived on what I call the rough side of life. And he tells us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. Think about that. Things down the road, amen? For those things, nor height, nor depth, amen? Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, amen? Jason, if you would, bring back verse 37 and just kind of leave it up there for a few moments, if you would. I'll be sharing a lot of scripture with you today. When the Apostle Paul wrote this passage of scripture, he poses a question to us. This question that he poses defies the devil. It enrages hell to the point that it doesn't know how to deal with it. And I want you to think about it. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything in existence today that can destroy the household of faith? Is there anything that means to you and I that God no longer loves us, God no longer hears us, nor no longer cares about us? The answer is found in verse 37. Nay, in all these things, say that with me, in all these things, say it again, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, amen? I used to use an illustration many years ago. Somebody said, what's the easiest way to describe more than a conqueror? It's very simple. If you have somebody like Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, all those great boxers, you remember those guys? All of us that are over 45 probably remember them, you know? And they were conquerors. They were great men of battle in the ring. And somebody said, well, how can somebody be more than a conqueror? Well, when Joe Frazier would win a fight and he would go home with the check, his wife would come by, take the check. She's more than a conqueror, amen? Y'all know how that thing works, right? Wives, they take care of that stuff for us. But in verse 37, it says, in all these things, we, the church, are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He poses the first question, shall tribulation? Tribulation is described as trouble from this world. It says in John 17 and 14, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus said that. Now I want you to think about something. Have you noticed in the last few years that the church is the problem in America? Come on now. We're being blamed for everything that's wrong with America, us and Mr. Trump. Amen. That, you know, anything goes wrong, it's the Christians' fault. Anything they don't like, it's the Christians' fault. We get them Christians out of the way, we could have a good life. No, you would have a hellacious life already worse than you've already got. Amen. And the answer is nay. These things, tribulation can't do that. The world can hate you, but that hate will not separate you from the presence of Almighty God. It says in John 16 and 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So Jesus declares that he's overcome the source of our tribulation. And therefore, we need to understand something. We ought to be a happy people. Amen. Somebody was talking to me the other day. Do you always have to be smiling? Yeah. Well, why? Because I'm a child of God. What's that got to do with it? I said everything. That's right. Amen. The world don't get it. I'm a happy person. Oh, things don't always go my way. But guess what? I'm still a child of God. And the things of this world, I refuse to let get to me. Why? Because it says, nay, these things are not going to have an effect on your life. So the question is, shall tribulation? Your answer is nay. All right, let's do it again. Shall tribulation?
Nay.
Amen. No, it's not going to have the power to separate us from God. The second one is distress. Distress is that place where there are no answers in sight. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Even when the enemy is encamped around you, you don't have to live in a life of distress. As long as God is on the throne, as long as God still hears my prayer and your prayers, guess what? As long as this word remains true, then guess what? The devil does not stand a chance. Amen? Distress can come, but you are still a child of the Most High God. You're still the one that's going to rise up in victory. You're still the one that says, devil, you can't do this to me because I belong to God. He said he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. He sees tribulation. He sees distress. But can distress separate us from God?
No.
Amen. I love it. Why? Because God says in his word, he's got our back. The third thing is, shall persecution. Now, persecution's a little bit different than some of the others. Persecution is trouble from folks, from people. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ, are you ready for this, shall suffer persecution. Hello.
Yes, amen.
We're losing, believe it or not, and it breaks my heart, 1,500 pastors a month across all denominations, Protestant denominations. That's scary. We aren't training that many replacements. And we need to understand something. What causes them to do that? Persecution. People can aggravate the snot out of you. Amen? I knew Wade was going to say amen. Don't beat up on him too bad, Laura. Amen. But think about, people can aggravate you. You'd be having a good day and the wrong person walk into your presence. Hey, man, I have a sign in my office that says some people make me smile when they come in and some people make me smile when they get out. Amen. Thank God we don't have that problem around here. Most of them make me smile. Amen. But think about it. Paul said it, that if we live godly in Christ Jesus. I had a gentleman when I was pastoring here the first time many years ago. He told me, he said, preacher, you must be sinning. I said, what? You must have some secret sin in your life. I said, why? He said, look at all the junk you're going through. And I'm thinking, yeah, you part of my junk. You know, I said, where you get off with that? He said, well, I ain't never seen a preacher go through so much junk in all my life. So you got to be doing something wrong. And I'm thinking, yeah, putting up with your mess in my office, get out, you know. But the Bible says if we live godly in Christ. And all of a sudden that scripture just kind of run out of my mouth. I said, I'm just the opposite of what you think.
You are?
I said, yeah. I ain't got no secret sin in my life. What I got is Jesus. And the Bible says if I live godly in Jesus. If I live godly in Jesus, I'm going to be persecuted. And I looked at him then and I said, and you're living proof of fulfillment of that word. Next thing I know, he left my office. Didn't even say goodbye. Just left. Amen. I was glad. I didn't want to have to deal with that any longer. But that's how people look at us. We go from one mountain peak to a valley to a mountain, a valley, a mountain, a valley. And people think, what are you doing wrong? Just serving Jesus. Doing everything right. You see, a blessing comes with persecution according to Christ's Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew 5 and 12, for great is your reward in heaven. Amen. You endure. You keep on keeping on. And I promise you, you're going to a place you're going to be glad you got there. Amen. We don't preach enough about heaven. Amen. I hear us preach about this thing and that thing, but we need to talk more about where we're going. And maybe more people would like to get there. Come on now. Amen. We got to understand that the Christian who prays for his enemies, the one that renders good for evil, that gives up the coat and the cloak and walks the second mile while offering the cheek, guess what? Shall that persecution overcome them or separate them from God? Boy, y'all weak on that. Let's try that again. Shall persecution separate us from God? Praise God. Y'all might get all this. Think about it. He's already told us. Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? And then he comes up with this one. Famine or nakedness. Think about it. I researched that. I was troubled by that one. You know, I thought it just meant you didn't eat or you didn't have clothes or whatever. And it's not talking about that at all. It's talking about your material prosperity. Think about it. God always supplies the need. Amen? He's always supplied the need. He has promised that he is sufficient for everything I need. There's no greater promise than that. Now, let me just say this. I am about to blow a gasket. In America, we got too much stuff. I got stuff in the attic up here I ain't even went through yet. It's been up there, Brother Tommy, 16 years in trash cans sealed with duct tape. So I know whose name's on it. One of those tubs is Josh's. One of those is Rachel's, another is Josh's, another is Rachel's. Guess who's going to get a blessing in the next couple weeks? I'm going to get Adam, and we're going to get Wade up there and get Tommy up there, and we're going to have a fireman's drill, and we're just going to bring that stuff out of there. And I'm going to tell them, if you don't want it, get rid of it. Amen. My God, if we ain't used it in 16 years, you really honestly believe we're going to use it next week? But, you know, I was coming home from, I was what they called down east. How many of you know where that is? That's on the other side of Beaufort. Long ways. I drove a lot of miles yesterday. And as I was coming back, I hit Jacksonville, coming down 17, and I'm like, oh, there's construction. That's just what we need, another storage place. Go to the next place. There's more construction. Guess what? More storage space. Almost every single place on 17 that was building, they were building storage units. I think maybe as a church, we need to go find some land and build some storage units. Hey, amen. We might get rich off them things. Why? Because people got too much stuff. Hey, amen. He's telling us that things should never dictate our spiritual temperament. I told somebody one time in a sermon, I said, it's okay to have things, but when things have you, it's bad. When you got so much stuff, you can't pay your tithes because what you're having to pay out every month, you got too much stuff. Your priorities stink. Amen. Does that make sense? You got to love me now. How many of you want to get to heaven? So you got to love me all the way through this message. Just hang with me a little while. But we do. We got too much stuff. I had a man in my first pastorate. He was like over all the phone company for Northeastern North Carolina. That man made mega bucks back in the 70s. And I was amazed. And he had 5 cars for him and his wife. My car gets in an accident and gets totaled. Do you think he offered me a car to drive? No. But a couple in our church that were poor folk had 2 cars, and he brings me a car and says, here's the keys, driving as long as you need it. I said, but why are you doing that? He said, because God told me to. And I'd rather listen to God. It wasn't long after we got our new van and gave him back the keys to his car that God blessed him with another vehicle. He said, you know what, preacher, if I hadn't let you use it, I probably wouldn't have got that thing. He said, God opened up a miracle for us. You know, because they were always struggling with 2. They had 2 boys at home getting ready to drive. He said, we need a 3rd vehicle. And look what God did for us. He said, I'm convinced because I shared with you that God took care of me. Amen. The sad thing is the guy with the 5 cars still got the same 5 cars. You know, I'm like, really, dude? And he said, yeah. I'm like, that's crazy. He ain't learned a thing. So, substance. Let me tell you something. You're not what you wear. You're not the house you live in. You're not the car you drive. Uh-oh. Come on now. I pulled up somewhere the other day. I don't even remember who it was. And they were picking on me. And they said, oh, we got a Joel Olstein in the house. You're driving a Cadillac. That was Karen's, Brother Yule's daughter. She was picking on me the other day. I said, Joel Olstein, my foot. That man don't drive no Cadillac. He gets drove everywhere he goes. And then she was picking on me. She said, but what would Billy Graham drive? I didn't know what Billy Graham rode in. He rode in a town car, chauffeur driven. Yep, sure did. He didn't drive for years. But he got chauffeured around. But you know what? We've gotten so much stuff. Let me tell you something. Your merit is not your stuff. Your merit is if you're made of the right stuff. That means being born again. That means knowing your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You see, I've been kind of concerned over the years about God raising up men and women that will continue to carry the cross. I believe in working with Tommy and Ashton and Jason and Retta, we're going to see that happen. But I was kind of discouraged one day. I was like, I would really like to see one of my youngins carry the cross or one of my grandchildren. And so I was at my son's house the other night, and his wife was telling a story on my grandson. My grandson is a genius. That boy makes straight A's, never cracks a book. He's got a photographic mind. The teachers tell us he'll probably end up being one of those doctor types. You know, I'm like, cool. He tells me he's going to be rich one day. But he starts talking to a girl at school about Jesus. She says, is that all you talk about? He said, what's wrong with that? And she said, well, I'm an atheist. Now, we're talking in the 6th, 7th grade range. You know, he's going to be 14 in September. And she tells him, I'm an atheist. Why? Because I don't believe in God. Can you make me believe in God? She asked the wrong person that question. Brother Madison Gill, you'd have been proud of him to listen to his answers. She starts giving him all these questions about God. He answered every single one of them. The bell rang and they had to go back to another class. And she looked at him. She says, almost thou persuades me to be a Christian. I said, tell him for me that that's scriptural. When Paul was preaching to Agrippa, Agrippa says, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. I said, tell him to keep plugging away. And then she begins to cry. She said, he looked at her. Mom, I just don't get it. Why don't everybody love my Jesus? I think I got a preacher in the family after all. Why doesn't everybody want to know him? That's from a 13-year-old. And she asked him, says, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'm going to keep studying, and I'm going to keep on working on that girl. He said, oh, by the way, Mom, you know Ben? Ben's a character. He's a fun kid. He loves me to death. He lives right up the street from us. And he says to Landon, he said an ugly word. Ben's parents are not saved. And he said an ugly word. And he looks at Landon and says, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that in front of you. That touched my heart. And so he's been going with them to Wednesday night Bible study. And he looked at his mom and said, Mom, guess what? Ben ain't cussing no more. You see, what I'm trying to get you to see is when we get the right focus, we realize that tribulation and peril and people don't have to get us down. God will give us opportunity to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Notice the next one. He says, shall peril or sword, where there's imminent danger to our body, whether through disaster or sickness. Has God quit loving us? No. Think about that. Absolutely not. He says, Paul said in Romans 14 and 8, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Need to look at that real close up there. Whether I live or die, I belong to God. Amen. Think about that for just a moment. He said in Philippians 1 and 21, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 26. I love what it says, though, in Psalm 116 and 15, that death of the saints is precious in the sight of God. So can I ask you something? Can peril or sword separate us from God? Some of you don't believe that. Come on now. Can peril or sword separate us from God?
No.
Okay, good deal. They're still with me, Ashton. We're all right. Amen? So what I want you to see is this. When things look bad, God looks good. In Jude 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, think about that for just a minute. God's telling us through his word, he is the one that's able to keep me. Now, I hear people, and how many of you have ever tried to witness to somebody? How many of you have ever tried to witness somebody that's backslidden? And they tell you, I just can't do it. That's a lie of the devil. You're telling me, and they're telling you, that God's son isn't able to keep them. Let me tell you something. God has kept this old man up here for 49 years this past January. Amen. This past month, on the 16th of March, we celebrated 33 years of full-time pastorate. And guess what? I'm asking God, let me go another 33 if the Lord tarries. You say, preacher, that's impossible. I'd be 99 years old. Whoa. Now, you say, preacher, you're nuts. You lost your mind. Go tell that to Abraham at 100 years old, what he did. Hello. I mean, we think in man's terms. We need to think in God's terms. Amen? It said in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I have people tell me all the time, how do you do what you do? Called. I'm called. I ran from that call. My wife will tell you, I was miserable. Amen. The last year I worked at Firestone, I'd come home and I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to be around nobody. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't like doing what I'm doing, but I love preaching. I was traveling not every day and every night. After I'd get off work, I'd be come home. She'd have all my stuff packed. Off I'd go preach somewhere. We drug our kids all over Eastern North Carolina for 4.5 years. And she said, you seem happy. I said, yeah, but I'd be happier if I was full-time. Quit your job. And I quit my job that summer. And it was amazing to me how God would take care of us. You know, God would always provide. You see, God's always at the right place at the right time with the right answer. How many of you ever read the book of Daniel? I love Daniel. Tremendous man of God. But in Daniel 6 and 16, it says, "For even the king said, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Darius was a crazy old man. He didn't want nobody praying to nobody but him. He thought he was a god. And it got back to him that Daniel wasn't praying to him. He was praying to God, Jehovah. Well, I'll fix him. Put him in the lion's den. But you know what? Daniel had earned a special place in that man's heart. And he went back to his palace after they done put Daniel in the den of lions, and he's up all night long. Wouldn't eat nothing. He was a praying not to himself but to God for protection for Daniel. And then he runs down the next morning. Verse 20, I think it is. He says, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Daniel says in verse 22, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Get that boy out of there. Where are those that accused him? They brought him before the king. He said, "Guess what? What you meant to destroy him is going to take care of you." And he commanded them to be thrown in that same den of lions that the angel of the Lord had shut them up. You ever read much about lions? You know they like to eat a lot and often. They ain't ate all night long. And you know what? I think some of them accusers were fat. And when they threw them in there, them lions started licking their lips like, "Oh, man, we got a meal for all day long." And the Bible says that they literally, in verse 24, the lions had overtaken them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, what's that telling me? They chomped down on them big time. They had a feast of their own. And Daniel's probably thinking, "Whew, that was close." Can I tell you something? It might get close, but it ain't over till God says it's over. I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I went to a black church one time visiting a friend of mine. He was preaching. And he said, "I got a new translation of that verse." And I said, "Oh, this ought to be good." He said, "It was Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro." I'm like, "I'm glad he said that and not me," you know. It's all black. I was like one of the five white folk in the whole building. And he said that, the place went up in a roar. And I said, "That'll preach." But he was trying to get them to see, as long as God's in charge, you got this. And, you know, it made the king mad. And what did he do? He heated the furnace, what was it, 7 times hotter. It was so hot that the very men that threw them in were devoured, consumed by the heat. That's hot, y'all. Amen. And yet, what's he do? He sticks his head down in there and looks, "Whoa, how is it?" There's a fourth one likened unto the Son of God. You see, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they sure didn't burn. And if I read it right and remember it right, you know, I'm getting a little older now. But if I remember the story, it says not even the stench of smoke was upon their clothes. I'm hearing people tell me today, it's so hard to live for Jesus. "I can't go out in the world, preacher, and it not rub off on me." That's a lie of the devil. Come on now. Hey, amen. I can go anywhere, anytime, any place, and still serve God. Why? Because he's with me everywhere I go. Amen. We need to understand that. Preacher, it just don't happen like that today. It's a new day, New Testament. Well, how about Paul and Silas? They were going to be executed. But the Bible tells me at midnight, they began to sing. Amen. One fellow said they were the authors of Jailhouse Rock. You know? They begin to praise God. I want to ask you something. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow at 11 o'clock, would you be praising God all night long? Or would you be saying, oh, God, get me out of this mess? They didn't do that. They just had church. I think if we quit worrying about things and just go ahead and have church, we'd hear from heaven. Come on now. You see, it amazes me. John and I sometimes, he'll tell me, preacher, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'm like, are you looking at the same books I'm looking at? You know, we open up QuickBooks and sometimes you're wondering, how did God do that? You know? And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it gets a little scary over our finances. I told somebody, we give a whole new meaning to nonprofit. Trust me, we are a nonprofit organization. And then this week, God began to touch people. And, you know, we don't have an abundance, but I can tell you all the bills are paid. Amen. There were those that told us we'd never make it. Well, the church van, brand new church van's paid for. Paid for. Yes. Paid for. Paid it off in 1 month. Yes. That's pretty amazing. Amen. Devil don't like that. But, you know, I mean, for the first time in 16 years that I've been your pastor, we paid our number one premium 3 weeks early. We ain't never done that. $1,400 and some we wrote out a check, Brother Tommy. Amen. You say, Brother Gwynn, that means I can slack up? No, it means you better tighten up. Amen. God's blessed you to be a blessing. Keep on blessing. Amen. I hear people say, well, it don't work for me like that. That's because you don't trust God with what you give him. Amen. I have a goal of what I'm giving God this year. And my wife, I told her, she said, are you sure? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, wow. Every year, we've exceeded the previous year. And I'm not bragging on what we make. Trust me, my income stayed the same. Haven't had but a 3% pay raise in like 3 years. But guess what? The more I give God, the more God gives back. Amen. I want to tell you something. God loves you. God cares about you. And God wants you to understand none of those things can separate you from the love of God. When the devil tells you, I'm going to back you in the corner, say, come on, devil, back me in the corner. I found out a long time ago, I fight good in the corner. Amen. I get even in the corner. Amen, because I suck it up and I quit feeling sorry about what I'm going through and say, okay, God, we got this. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, so be it. Devil's a punk. And all them little demons that serve him, they little punks. That ain't got the power to whip a light bulb. I just don't get some Christians. I watched my mom and dad work hard all their lives. I watched them serve God ever since I was 8 years old. Mama was before that, but dad was like 8 years of age. And I watched them sacrifice. I watched my dad build a church, him and three other old guys that were told they're too old to do that. And they built a church bigger than this and built it debt-free. You say, preacher, that's impossible, not with God. You see, we've got this thing that we don't want to trust God. Can I tell you something? Trust him in all things. I said, trust him in all things. I want you to get something. God didn't write that book to sacrifice his son for you to fail. God sacrificed his son that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Can I tell you something? There's a new day dawning for us. My wife, last year, January 1, she says, I got a new theme for our church. And I want you to share it with the people. I said, what is it? A new beginning. January 1 of this year, guess what? It still stands. We're still having a new beginning. Out on the sign, as we changed the sign after the singing a few days ago, we put, God loves you. And at the bottom it says, all are welcome. Somebody said this week, said, preacher, do you know what you're inviting to church? No, tell me. Gay people? Yeah, they fit in all. Lesbians? Yeah, they fit in all. Adulterers? Yeah, they kind of fit in that all word. Everybody on the planet is welcome to the river. And if we will love them like we love each other, guess what? They will hear the word of truth behind this desk, and they will get saved and turn from their wicked ways and become a child of the Most High God. We had some coming, I think it was last year, there were two ladies, and their mother came with them one day, and she was Church of God. She come up, and she told me, she said, thank you, Pastor. I said, for what? She said, my daughters told me, you've never made them feel uncomfortable. But she said, conviction sure does. And I said, would you please enlighten me of what you're trying to say. She said, you treated them like everybody else. They've heard the truth. Wasn't long after that, I got a little email one day, and she said, my daughter's come back home. She was the female of the relationship. And I said, and I wrote her back. I said, what happened? Said she could never get the love that she felt at the river out of her mind. And she said, you know what? God really did die for me. And God didn't make me this way. I wasn't born like this. She gave her heart to the Lord and started serving God. That's a happy mama. But how does it happen? It's loving people. You see, if we quit, my dad taught me something. I learned something, Brother Massengill, fishing one day. He said, I had a fish on the line. I said, clean that fish. I said, really, Dad? It's still half in the water and half out. No, go ahead and clean it. I want you to clean it. I said, that's impossible. Yep. And he said, now you've learned a life lesson. I said, what do you mean? If the church had quit trying to clean fish while they're still in the water until we get them in the boat, church would grow a lot more. We need to understand that. Let them alone and let God have them. Come on now. Remember. Very simple lesson, life lesson. You can't clean a fish till you catch it. Amen? You can't enjoy it till you get it in the boat. So if we want to win lost souls, we got to love them. Would you come to the instruments, please? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. When things look bad, my friend, God looks good. Our church has suffered a lot the last year with the deaths of different ones. We've seen more death than I care to in one less than a year. But can I tell you something? God's still on the throne. God still loves us. God still cares. And as you stand with me across this building, last week I was going to share this message and the Holy Ghost came down. People came to the altar. Little Caitlin got saved. By the way, she's had a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. She was supposed to have gone home yesterday, but she lost a lot of blood giving birth to her daughter. And it was either late last night or this morning they've had to give her a blood transfusion. So she may or may not go home today even. So if you want to see a pretty baby, go up there and see that mama and baby. But you know, the amazing thing is she's born again. She wants to raise that baby right. And I believe God can help her do that. Those loving grandparents and little Alex, he's all excited, you know. He said, I want to be a Christ-like example to her. She's going to have some tough times. But guess what? She can make it. There's somebody here this morning. God prolonged this message till today. You might be having a tough time. You might be having a hard time dealing with some reality, some things that are going down in your life. But can I tell you something? When things look bad, God is oh so good. He has never failed me. I've tried to put it in my timetable. It don't work like that. His ways and his times are not like mine. But he always comes through. Sister Leanne, they've been here for months now. We prayed for weeks and months for her to get the right job. And she got a job that uses what she's been trained in. That's just God. And when they told us that he had gotten a raise the day she got the job, I thought, that's just God making him feel good so he don't feel left out. That's the kind of God we serve. But let me tell you something. And I'm going to say this out of love. Some of you will never achieve or receive what you want God to do in your life until you can trust him. I mean, trust him. I mean, trust him. Father God, I've shared my heart this morning. And Lord, I believe there's someone here today that's going through a tough time, a tough place. And God, they don't know what to do. But I've shared a message that reminds them that people, places, and things cannot separate them from the love of God. God, I ask you now through the Holy Spirit to walk up and down the aisles of this church, in between each pew. Examine the heart of every man and woman in this house this morning. And God, if there be one that's having a tough time, they're struggling to realize that you're a good God. They're struggling and maybe haven't found out just how great you are or can be in their life. I'd ask you to speak to them and for them to step out from where they are. God bless our sister. She's not the only one. There are others here this morning. Things are looking bad in your life. But can I tell you something? God's wanting to shine forth in your life for you right now. Are you willing to take a step of faith and say, God, I know you got my back. I know you're going to take care of this for me. I know you're going to open up the doors that need to be opened for me. God, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow because you've got my tomorrows in the palm of your hands. God bless these that are coming. God bless these that are coming. God's moving. God's speaking to your heart. Don't have to separate you from Almighty God. Say, preacher, I can't have your kind of faith. I'm not asking you to have my faith. I'm asking you to have a God kind of faith. The kind that God gave you. You see what people don't realize, Brother Tommy? According to Scripture, God has given all of us a measure of faith. A measure of faith. It's called natural faith. It's a faith that enables me to get up out of the bed every morning, put my feet on the floor, and get up and get clothed and get on my daily walk of God. It's a faith that tells me it's okay to sit in that chair. It's going to hold me up. But it helps me learn and build my spiritual faith. God's given you faith. God's given you faith. I need some people that know how to pray. You know, how many of you know how to pray? There are three very precious people here right now. They're going through a bad time. Things look bad for them right now. I don't know what they are. Don't have to know. But I know one thing. There's a God in heaven that's got their back. Brother Tim.